Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning. It's good to be together to remember the Lord who is great and awesome. There will be some opportunities for special fellowship together, one at the Friendship Borscht lunch next week. The proceeds Community Crew, which provides 4,000 healthy lunches each week to 30 Niagara Region schools. Okay. And there will also be an Eternity Sunday coming up in November, so please read the details about these events and others in the bulletin. Please also note in the bulletin that the next praise and worship choir practice is at 6:30 p.m., not 7, as noted in the Week in a Glance. Okay. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 99. Let us reflect on God's holiness as I read our call to worship this morning. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity in Jacob. You have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron are among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name, and they called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Please bow with me in prayer. Dear God, we come to church weary, discouraged, and distracted. We have labored through another week and need to be reminded of the rest Christ offers us. We have endured another week surrounded by trials, temptations, and persecutions. We are thirsty, eager to drink and be refreshed by the water of life. We have walked another 7 days on our journey as broken, sinful people. But we come to you this morning to remember who you are and who we are in you. Help us, your children, hear your word, feel your love, and worship you, Heavenly Father and Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now our special worship team will lead us in praise.
Come, thou almighty King, help us, thou. next song is the melody is very familiar. The words maybe not that much, but the melody is stand up for Jesus.
Would the children like to join me up front for children's story? All right. So for some of you, you guys might remember, a couple weeks ago, I brought in my Lego set. Do you guys remember this? I had a Lego set. And it's a speedboat. We saw that on the instruction manual. So I thought after our service, I was really encouraged. I was going to go home and I was going to build it. But as I was putting it together, I realized I'm missing a whole bunch of pieces. And then there's other things in here that they don't belong. Okay, so for example, I have a boat here. But you can see I have a wheel. But this is like a wheel for a car that is not going to drive on the road. This isn't a steering wheel. Or I have a door, but I don't really need a door for my boat. Or look at this, is the guy for it. He doesn't really look like a sailor. He kind of looks like a construction worker. So it's not really going to go well together. So I'm kind of discouraged. I can't really seem to put it together. Have you guys ever felt like that? Like something you needed or wanted to do was just, it was really hard, or it wasn't going the way you wanted to, and there was no around to help? Have you guys felt like that before, maybe? So in today's Bible story, we're going to learn about how Nehemiah, he was faced with a lot of challenges too. And he was trying to rebuild a ruined city. And in fact, there was an entire army that was trying to stop him and his people from working. So do you think they just got up and left? They're like, nah, we don't want to do it. Do you think they left? Sure. No, they weren't going to give up. They needed to stay. They needed to keep building. They needed to keep working. So sometimes it can be easy to just give up when things get hard, but we know that we have God with us, that we're never really alone. So even with little things like my mixed up Lego pieces, or with big things like when things go wrong with friends at school or at home, we can keep on working to do good things because God is with us and he'll help us. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for always being with us to help when things are hard. Help us to not give up and to keep trying to do good things. Amen. All right, thanks, guys.
Hi. Good, he made it back. Well, good morning, friends. We'll now have our time for prayer. So we have an opportunity here. If you have something you'd like to share, any prayer requests, please raise your hand, and we'll have a microphone come over to find you, I think. And then otherwise, it's okay if you have nothing to share, or if you don't want to share in front of everyone, you can just send that in by email or call through the week. And we're happy to pray for you in private as well. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share? Oh, yes. Do we have a microphone? Who's our... You can speak loud. You just have to come up to the pulpit. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. We'll bring... Oh, this is a... We're very prepared. Thank you.
Some joyful news. Is that on? Yeah? Okay. Peggy White, we all know and love Peggy White. She is, well, her family is so excited. I'm not sure about Peggy. I think she will be able to move her out of the Fort Erie Hospital and into the Heidehoff on Wednesday. So she has a permanent home, so they're very excited that she's close again.
That's good. She initially expressed that she thought she'd only be in Fort Erie for a few days to a week, but she was there over a month in the end. I'm sure they'll miss her cheery disposition in Fort Erie. Oh, we have Ziggy off to the side there. Sorry. No, you could take the... You're in charge of the microphone. I'm stuck up here filling dead space. Yeah.
Just a bit of background. 9 years ago, my dear wife Candy and I were on a study tour of Israel and Palestine, and part of that tour allowed us to stay for a few nights in Palestinian homes. Not mentioning any names because I forget them, but there were daughters that were registered nurses that served in hospitals, both in the West Bank and in the Gaza, and we don't know whether they were victims of that terrible tragedy at the hospital in Gaza, but let's continue to pray for those families, we don't know their names, that may have lost their lives in this tragedy.
All right, thank you, Paul.
I just wanted to say thank you for prayers. Mom's breathing has improved, and she's feeling stronger all the time. So thank you.
Thank you for the update.
Many of you probably don't know him that much because he hasn't been in church for a long time. He lived in Tabor Manor, and he was taken to the hospital 2 weeks ago, and then he had fallen, apparently,
And now he's in Fort Erie for the last 2 weeks already. So I don't know how well he is, but I might see him this week. I don't know for sure yet. But I want you to pray for him, my Uncle Franz Dick. A lot of them are cousins here. They know him too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yesterday, we found out that my brother's dear wife in in BC, who was going to be 101 years old in 10 days, went to be with the Lord yesterday morning.
Oh, thank you for sharing. We're sorry for your loss. That is a long life lived.
Even older than mine.
Well, thank you, everyone, for sharing, and let's pray together. At the end of our prayer time, I'll invite you to do the Lord's Prayer. We'll have a version of that on the screen, but I invite you to do whatever version you are most comfortable with. If that's in another language, do it in the language of your heart as well when we pray together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you listen, that you see, that you understand, that you are a God who isn't at a distance, but who is right alongside us as we grieve, as we rejoice, as we wonder. Lord, have mercy. Continue to work through your people, through your church all throughout the world, so that we can be peacemakers, so that we can start to see and proclaim new hope, new life, new love. Lord, in all things we pray that you'd help us to have eyes as you have eyes, that you'd help us to see other people as those that we can love, that we can see other people as those who are made in your image and in whom you delight. Be with those today who are grieving, those who are sick, those struggling with addiction, with the violence all throughout our world. Lord, with so many things, we trust that we are in your hands. We trust that you can work good things even in the middle of this mess in the midst we live in. Continue to remind us of your hope. Lord, I pray that each person here would be able to feel and understand and experience again that they are your precious child, that they are loved by you right where they are. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. I'll be reading Nehemiah Chapter 4. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring those stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned as they are?" Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, even a fox climbing up on it would break down their walls of stones. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah. Who were building the wall? Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work with half of the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, "Have every man and his helpers stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve us as guards by night and as workers by day. Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when we went for water."
Today's message finds us back in Nehemiah, back discovering that things have gone well for a bit, but now the people are wondering if they should just give up. So much trouble catching them there. And that makes me wonder, have you ever felt just tired, just done with it all? Like the stress and everything has just been too much. Maybe that's something you feel now. Do you ever feel just like giving up on faith, on our families, on our professions, just in life? Sometimes it can just feel so heavy, especially as we watch all of the news and the troubles experienced through our world. Do you ever feel like you just need a boost of hope? That little bit of sunshine in the storm. Today, as we look at this passage in Nehemiah, this "don't give up," we're reminded that this appears later in the biblical story. We've seen the chosen people of God who have been delivered out of slavery, and they're called to be this light to the nations, delivered out of slavery with a purpose. However, they have been unfaithful. They have turned to other gods and away from God's way. They end up being exiled into Babylon. They're taken away from their home. But they continue to have this hope, even as they're in exile, that they'll be able to return home so that, again, they can be this light to the nations. And as the empires churn out a new power, the Persian Empire, we see the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, a reminder that this is all one story happening together, right around the year 445 BCE. So Nehemiah is this leader. He is working as part of the government, and he is working to rebuild Jerusalem with the help of the Persian Empire. And he has been very practical and faithful in this approach, with prayer, with a plan, with action. And that's where we catch them today in chapter 4. And we see Sanballat heard that they were building the wall. And he responds with anger. He's greatly enraged. He mocks the Jews. What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore things? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, that stone wall that they're building, any fox going up on it would break it down. And we see the people who have endeavored to start this difficult task are being hit with discouragement. They're hearing from others that what they're doing isn't enough, that it's not going to work out, and they start to feel it. Those outside voices start to make their way into their hearts. And even as they keep going, it says, so we rebuilt the wall, and the wall was joined together to half its height. For the people had a mind to work. Our enemies were very angry, and all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And the people are saying, our enemies will come up against us. And they say that over and over. So now not only is there discouragement, there is a very real and present danger. They're being faced with external challenges, keeping them from doing the work that they want to do, pushing back at this good work. Do we keep going or do we stop? Are our lives in danger? I thought God was on our side. Why is this so difficult? And it goes on to say the strength of the burden bearers is failing, the workers is failing. And there's too much rubbish so that we're unable to work on the wall. Discouragement to challenges to just giving up. It was too much. And so they stop. What had at one point become this exciting community project is now hit with the reality that this wasn't going to go as quickly or as easily as they hoped. And so they stop building. And we see the trouble here is the trouble that we very much experience. That discouragement has a way of making its way into our hearts. If someone says something positive to you, maybe you remember it, but if someone says something negative to you, how long do you remember that? Discouraging words, discouragement has a way of carrying with us, of dragging us down. Not only discouraging words, but the discouraging reality of our world. And I do not mean in any way to make light of the dangers and the difficulties people are experiencing in our world. And it's important for us to follow along and to pray along, but there is so much to be discouraged about. Maybe today more so than even weeks ago. So much violence, so much brokenness, so much pressures of war, and all these things out of our control. All of these challenges that we start to face. When things go well, they go well for a while. And when things go poorly, suddenly we wonder, oh, now of all times. My car only breaks down at the most inconvenient times. There's never a convenient time for it to happen. But the challenges on top of any discouragement really set us back. We can make this slog of life, or this slog of our faith life, and this feeling like we should just give up. I mean, let's look at our church. Oh, what's the point of doing anything different as our small community here? It would be too difficult. Too many younger people have left. Too many challenges. We should just give up. What's the point? And maybe that starts to wonder to us, have we given up? Have you given up? Things are as they are. There's nothing I can do. Where is hope? Where is hope? But in this passage, we see Nehemiah continue to try to infuse hope, even in the midst of all of these difficulties. We have Nehemiah standing up, and he says to the nobles, all the people there, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your kin, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." This rallying cry. It says, when our enemies heard that their plot was known to us and that it was God who had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. The encouragement of Nehemiah, the encouragement of trying to work through some of these problems, reminding again that there will be discouragements, but will we listen to them or will we listen to the one who called us to this task? That if it is God who has called us to this task, then we will trust that when things get hard, it'll be God who fights for us, who works through things. It says, said to the nobles, the officials, the rest of the people, "The work is great and widely spread out, and we're separated far from one another along the wall. So rally to us whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, and God will fight for us." That God will fight for us, but we're going to do this together. That yes, one or even as groups that are separated doing all of this work at a distance, well, that is logical and makes sense. We need to now rally together and work together as best we can. That alone, yes, this is an impossible task. Without God's help, yes, this is an impossible task, but together, God can work through us to get this done. So we labored at the work. And half of them, half of the people working, held the spears from break of dawn until the stars came out. It says, "Let every man and his servant pass the night inside Jerusalem, so that they may be a guard for us by night, and they may labor by day." So none of us took off our clothes, and we kept our weapons in our right hands, even when we went for water, even on the bathroom breaks. The people persevere. It is difficult. It is not easy. People are coming from their homes to build, and they're going back to their homes, and now they're saying, no, we're just going to stay in the city. We have to get this finished. The walls only got to half the height we need. That's a good start, but we have to persevere. We have to keep pushing through all of this trouble together. Let's encourage one another. Let's work together. We can persevere. And that is the same hope that we have as a community of God, that we can be people of encouragement, that we can be the people who, like Nehemiah, give those encouraging words, those encouraging actions to people who are feeling discouraged, that we can work together to be more than the sum of our parts, that we can work together to be what the Bible says becomes this body of Jesus, loving other people and being able to represent that love of Jesus in ways that alone we just could not do. That we can be people who persevere, who don't just give up, but continue to push forward as we listen to the call of Jesus. Because we are people who follow the Jesus way. We are people of resurrection. We are people who know that yes, there is death, yes, there is darkness, yes, there is despair, but that death has been overcome. That even out of those places where we only see death, new life can grow out. Even in those places of darkness, light can shine brightly. Yes, is there despair and hopelessness through the world? Of course. But there are also these glimmers of new hope, of new life sprouting up even amongst the war, even amongst the despair. That the kingdom of God, that Jesus is working in our midst to bring about new hope and new life. So what will that mean for us? What does that mean? Well, it means that as we follow the call of Jesus, as we follow his call to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him, that path will not always be easy. But we do not go it alone. As we face those challenges, they are the same challenges that Jesus and many Christians before us have faced. But we can go knowing that we do not walk and embrace those challenges alone. We can be people who are swayed by different voices. So what voices will we listen to? Will we listen to the negative people letting us know that, oh, even a fox could knock that over? What's even the point? Or will we listen to the good voice of those who are prayerfully following the way of Jesus? And maybe we have to look to ourselves and ask, what kind of a voice am I supplying to the community? When we look in this passage, there are people who are mocking the Jews here in Israel. They're saying, oh, you're not even gonna... Their names suggest that they were followers of Yahweh themselves. Some of that discouragement was coming right from inside the community. We can sometimes be the voices of discouragement that push others back from being able to try new things, be able to take those risks for Jesus. Oh, why would we do that? Don't do that. Is it my voice that's the discouraging voice? And then what will we listen to? We talked a couple weeks ago, how we spend our time. This was with the Seniors Fellowship. How you spend your time is who you are becoming. The things that you listen to, the things that you consume, the people you spend your time with are shaping you. So how will we be shaped? What voices will we listen to? How will we spend ourselves so that we start to become more like Jesus or more like the despair of the world? As always in Nehemiah, and an aspect I didn't really talk about today, but Nehemiah continues to go to prayer right away in all of the discouragement, in all of the challenges, in all of the people giving up. Prayer is always our starting point for reconnecting so that we can be encouraged by the Spirit as well. We are not called to be a people of success. Here in this passage, they're being called to make this wall. And they don't know that they're going to get all the way to the end of it. And they don't know that that wall is going to stand forever. They don't know what the results will be, but they know that they are called. We are called to be faithful. What is Jesus calling us to? Let's go and do that. That might not involve more numbers or what looks like success, but success comes in faithfulness to that narrow way of Jesus. That in that way, we're invited to that hope. That Jesus is not just the one who brings new life out of those places where we only see death, but Jesus is the one who invites us to be proclaimers of and representatives of his new life all throughout our world. There is darkness out there where you are the only light that can shine the love of Jesus. And together, may we shine that light brightly. Are there reasons to give up? Are there reasons to lose hope? Always. Are there reasons to not give up? All of those reasons remain in Jesus, who brings out that new life bit by bit, who builds up that new wall in Nehemiah bit by bit as the people work together and persevere and see God do something new in their midst. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are good. Thank you that you do not leave us in those moments of despair, but that you walk alongside us. Help us, Lord, to persevere, to see new light and new hope, to be that new light and new hope for our neighbors. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim, for the message. Have we been tired? Have we been discouraged? Yes, we have. Almost everyone or everyone. But thanks to the Word of God and working together, we can be encouraged and go forward. Thank you. Thank you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord